Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina. Welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for joining us this lovely day. It's pre-recorded, so I'm just assuming it's a lovely day, but thank you for joining us anyway. I'm with Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, also known as CCTA. We are a conservative grassroots organization, and we're here to help you understand what's going on in our country and to try to share some of the real news with you. That I know you overdose on the fake news that's out there everywhere. Every time you turn around, it's there. So we try to shine some light on the other side. And to help me do that, I have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello. Hello.
I have Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
I have Howe and Rainer James.
Hey.
And we are all members of CCTA.
Nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan, yeah.
But with a definite philosophy of government.
Right. Yeah, we're very nonpartisan, but we are very conservative, and we are very opinionated. So don't misconstrue our opinions as being partisan. It means we're right and they're wrong. Okay, well, I'm going to start the conversation out here. I was online and ran across some things. So one of them here is, on the advice of the Justice Department, President Trump has asserted executive privilege over subpoenaed documents related to the House Oversight Committee's investigation of the census citizenship question. There's nothing that they won't investigate to try to get to the president and you know, do him harm. The big picture here is that the House Oversight Committee is preparing to vote to hold Attorney General Bill Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt Wednesday for refusing to turn over subpoenaed materials. Now, the committee is investigating whether the Trump administration's decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census was politically motivated, a controversy that could have major implications for future federal funding and redistricting. Now, they've been, well, I can't say the whole 2 years because it was the midterms that they regained control of the House, but since they have regained control of the House, can you name any constructive legislation that they have presented and followed through on and gotten passed?
I give up.
If they did, I can't remember. There may be something out there, but it's nothing big.
Nothing that we're aware of.
No.
But you know, they've blocked good legislation.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And they've done something.
And that's what they're trying to do here. Now, their claim is, well, a 2015 study conducted by a now-deceased GOP gerrymandering strategist concluded that adding a citizenship question to the 2020 census would clearly be a disadvantage to Democrats and advantageous to Republicans and non-Hispanic whites, according to court documents filed in a legal challenge. Anybody care to try to elaborate on why that would be?
What? Go ahead then, Randy. I didn't want to elaborate. I wanted to comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did too. They're saying it's that way, but what they really mean is having illegal aliens counted would benefit the crew that would disadvantage. It would flip it on its ear. And I think the real people who would be disadvantaged if it's not on the form is Americans. I don't want American representation to be diluted by a bunch of illegal aliens out in California, for example. So it needs to be on.
Absolutely.
I'm going to disagree with Raina.
Bob, well, could you get that spare room fixed?
These questions that they've had on the census has gotten more and more invasive. They want to know how much money the people in the household make, various things like that. I can't remember all
how
the questions.
Cause,
yeah, how many bathrooms, things like that. And I just got disgusted with it. And when they come knock on the door now, if I'm the one that answers the door, I say, the only thing that you're entitled to know about this household is that there are two people that live here. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, I'm going to come to Rainer's defense.
All right.
It's not that I disagree with your approach. You have, you know, it's your right to do that. And I agree that's all they really need to know. That is the most important thing to maintaining our republic and our form of government, is to have legitimate voters selecting our representation.
But the only constitutional question that's in there is how many people live here. And what if somebody decided to try to add how many weapons do you own? Huh?
Well,
that's an infringement on a little bit of your privacy.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
man's
so
home
does,
is his castle, right?
Yeah,
you're supposed to have all the rights and you live like a
so
king.
So is your citizenship status, as far as I'm concerned. It's none of their damn business.
Well, I think it is if they're going to vote here.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean,
if that determines population for the on which voting is based, how many members of the House of Representatives of the state get, I don't want illegal aliens counted, period.
Right.
And it also, if you take it a step further, will determine votes in the Electoral College.
Yes.
It didn't say they were going to prohibit
that's
people.
That's the real danger.
They didn't say they were going to prohibit people from voting who don't say that they're a citizen. It just says, are you a citizen or not?
Yeah, but you entitled to representation in the House of Representatives if you're not a citizen?
No.
So then, in order to figure out the representatives, they need to know how many citizens live in a state.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Go ahead.
If instead I had 500,000 illegal aliens living in my district, then we might qualify for two more representatives and take it away from some other state.
Exactly. You can't add to the Electoral College. You can only reshape and redistribute. So the number is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's by constitutional 435. Amendment. It's the number's fixed.
I'll concede that it depends on how it's intended to be used, and I'm not sure how they intend to use it.
Well, I'm going to ask another question, because I saw today in a ballot somewhere, how many languages are we going to take the census in?
One.
Oh, I doubt that.
I doubt it too, but that's how it ought to be.
I think the Democrats blocking this questionnaire, I think it's an insult to Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Because our rightful expectation is that this country is comprised and serves citizens. And then, of course, there are some that come here and work. There's legal residents and legal visas. But
that's fine, but they don't need to be voting.
Exactly. But to think that our country now comprises not so much they're illegal anymore, because in actuality, if you're counting them, then they're not really illegal anymore. So our country has to be based on legality and legal citizens. And that's who our government should serve, and representation in our government should serve legals.
Okay.
Citizens.
I think the real question to what you're saying is our country is there to protect and defend us as legal citizens. Now, if we have other people, other foreign aliens, I'm coming in legally, I'm gonna say that, anything that needs to be done to support them has to be from my individual compassion, not from my government stealing my money.
But you can't usurp federal law, state law, by keeping people hidden as illegals in this country.
Okay, right? I'm gonna interrupt here and get us back on track with the Constitution here, and it's Amendment 14, and in Amendment 14 it states, representatives shall be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. But when the right to vote at any election for the choice of electors for president and vice president of the United States, representatives in Congress, the executive and judicial officers of a state, or the members of the legislature thereof, is denied to any of the male inhabitants of such state, being 21 years of age and citizens of the United States.
Now, there you go.
It's not just my opinion. It's always, as far back as this country's existence, it was expected that only citizens were voting for our leaders.
Mm-hmm. But I don't get the connection between that and the census, because if you go to vote, you should have to prove that you're a citizen when you go to vote.
Well, it is. It's there on the documents when you do go to vote. Before you get your ballot, you have to sign an affidavit that you are a citizen. But there's no validation there. Anybody can say that. There's no check on it. There's no validation to it. And the same thing with the census. You know, they could answer either way they wanted to.
And it is the census itself that's used to decide representation, how many members each state has.
It's for redistricting. It's really for redistricting to have that one person, one vote. That's where the census is for. All that census goes back to every state. And then every 10 years they use that data, and then they draw up their maps again.
Right.
Maps, but also how many representatives they have in the House of Representatives.
Well, but that's part of the map, and the map has to be, you have to group.
But it's based on the census.
Yeah.
So it does affect the outcome.
Yes.
It does affect the outcome of elections.
For instance, California is losing people, and illegals are coming in as people are leaving. So I would think, in fairness, that the census would reflect the loss of American citizens and those representatives that they would lose because of having lost citizens would show up in other states where the citizens went. Mm-hmm. But if you count illegals in California, you're not going to reflect the loss of population the state is going through.
Right. Well, it is my opinion, and this is not a CCTA opinion, it is my opinion, that we have lost many elections or won many elections illegitimately because of illegal voting.
I agree. Yes.
And I think that in the future it will be proven out that was a fact. And the Russians didn't do it.
Mm-mm.
It was our own people right here. And one party is really good at it over the other, but they're both guilty. It's just, you know, how do you get a handle on it and how do you enforce it? It's like a lot of the other laws out there that aren't being enforced. The immigration laws, we have the laws, they're just not being enforced. If they were, we wouldn't have a problem we have today. We have sanctuary states and cities that openly break and violate federal laws. So anyway, it accomplished what I wanted to. It generated conversation.
Can I just make one? So I think the census asking that question provides some information for not only our government, but for our states. Every 10 years, we find out approximately what percentage of people here are illegal. And that goes to how much money we're also spending on support for illegals, you know, education, medical care, all these different services. And this goes to what Congress is spending or what is unconstitutional spending. And that gives us a gauge of how much money the government is taking out of, you know, tax and spending on unconstitutional objects.
All right.
And maybe somewhere along the line we'll have a lawsuit that will challenge, you know, unconstitutional spending, which would be a novel thought.
All right.
But a good thought.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's ironic that the Democratic Party has been accused of, I think a lot of us were convinced that they do use voter fraud in one form or another to affect elections. But who's been indicted recently, and there's going to be a trial maybe by September? It's the past, Robin Hayes, past chairman of the Republican Party in North Carolina, state party.
All right.
And two or three other people associated
District
9. So, I wouldn't say that any party is exempt.
But we do know which one they're going after, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I did say they were both guilty of it. Well, that's first segment of the show. We appreciate you staying with us
We didn't hurt anybody in the room.
I don't think so, anyway. But we're going to pause now to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we encourage you to please go out and visit them. Tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we got you warmed up in the first segment, and now we're going to move on to segment two. And I also found this online today while I was doing my usual perusing of the internet. And this is from the Epoch Times. It's a conservative news source. And it's not E-P-I-C, it's E-P-O-C-H. And it's theepochtimes.com, E-P-O-C-H-times.com. And this article is How Legacy News Outlets and Political Actors Maintain Their Illusion of Chaos. We've talked about fake news and how they operate, but this article shines a lot of light on what's really going on. It says in just 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency, the terrorist group ISIS has been nearly eliminated. Black and Hispanic unemployment levels have reached all-time lows. The economy is growing at a rate deemed impossible under the Obama administration. And the United States has become the world's largest crude oil producer. And manufacturing is returning to our country. Among an array of other successes, too numerous to list here. But despite these successes, the Trump administration has been under constant attack by a collective of legacy news outlets, political actors, and policy-focused front organizations that have created a constant picture of chaos in the United States and in the White House. The narratives used to discredit Trump have been debunked one after another. Criticisms of anti-Semitism have been turned around to expose anti-Semitism among leftist politicians and news outlets. The Trump-Russia scandal has transformed into the Spygate scandal of a political espionage under Obama, and many other accusations have ended with similar results. In the latest chapter of these chaos operations, House Democrats are voting to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress for his refusal to not release the fully unredacted report from Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Barr was not required to release even the information that he did and cannot release the redacted parts because they are related to grand jury information on ongoing cases, so it would be illegal for him to do that. But what's important to remember here is that none of this matters. This is not about Barr, nor the Mueller report, nor foreign influences of the elections. This is about a political faction desperately trying to hold on to power. Its only hope is to cripple the Trump presidency as much as possible while controlling public perceptions, enough to flip the coming 2020 elections. Understand this, and everything you're witnessing will make sense. For them, facts don't matter. The issues don't matter. What we're witnessing is just a chaos operation. The purpose is to manufacture an illusion of chaos. There are several tactics at play, and by understanding their mechanisms, we can see the sleight of hand at work. And before I go further, I'll just ask, has anybody seen evidence of this going on?
Sure, all the time. All the time.
Well, it's because of your conservative views and your willingness to search out the truth that you're even aware of it.
Well, you know, even on the surface, that anti-Semitism stuff was ridiculous. Moving our embassy to Jerusalem, the president has grandchildren who are Jews.
Right.
How could he possibly be anti-Semitic? There's nothing, absolutely not a thread of anything to make it seem like that.
Well, let me read you about the tactic. Yeah, Hal.
Well, if you talk about chaos, and in one respect, I think there is chaos. We've got people fighting the president every step of the way to try to secure our borders, and that what is his primary responsibility as president of the United States is to protect the citizens of the United States, and that border is needed. That wall on the border is needed, and I think it just recent happening of Mexico blinking and helping us now to stop some of the people coming across their southern border, keep them coming up to our northern border of Mexico.
And that's a platform he ran on and got elected on.
Absolutely. So the chaos is on the other side, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of this chaos is intentional recklessness on the part of the media and probably on the part of the Democrats. Like, they ran with the story about, you know, Mueller didn't indict Trump on any crimes, on collusion or obstruction. Well, Mueller is a DOJ employee. Special counsel is under the DOJ. DOJ cannot indict a sitting president. So that was never an option. But just right. Because they put it in the media like, oh, he did, and as if, well, we have to investigate Mueller because blah, blah, blah.
But facts don't matter.
No, that's what I'm saying. But they intentionally misrepresented to the people that as if Mueller could have and probably should have, but something, you know, prevented him from doing it when they didn't present it as if there was never that option anyway. The same thing with this Barr. Barr didn't have to release what he did, right. But they made it sound like he had the obligation to. So now, well, they have to, you know, censor him or whatever they're doing because He didn't release what he wasn't didn't have to anyway.
Well, there's a tactic involved here, and let me explain it to you, or let me read the article about it. It's called above and below. A major tool in this is the above and below tactics. This works by manufacturing crisis and response, then subverting through the Hegelian dialectic process of theses, antitheses, and synthesis in order to control the direction of a process set in motion. The below part works through manufactured incidents and protests. The above then can react to these. Have we seen manufactured stuff going on out there?
Oh, you're talking about manufactured theses? I think they're manufacturing feces.
Oh, dear.
Okay. For example, groups on the ground, the below, create an incident. Media, above, then amplifies the incident to create public demand, below. And political factions, above, then react to the public demand. So what they're doing is they're creating a crisis out here. And it's a small group of people, but it gets a lot of media attention and gives the impression that, hey, everybody in the country is in an uproar over this. Yeah. So
I don't think it's working.
Well, it has worked because then the politicians, the ones at above, use that crisis to get legislation they want passed. And that's a thing like with the gun control they're trying to pass. Now, it's gotten through in some states. They've banned AR-15s and other things, large clips and things. They're chipping away at it. But they create a crisis. There is a crisis, and they use the fake news to, you know, amplify it and make it look like that's what the people want. People.
Well, They forced the spotlight over that manufactured crisis.
Well, Grassroots North Carolina sent out a publication just in the last week or so about states that allow carry some open, some concealed in states for people at school, you know, the school teachers right. And trained marshals, they call them, I think, or something like that, but other people. Raynard's got the information on it.
I'm going to get to that later in the show.
Okay, but that to me was an eye-opener that many states do have that.
Right. Well, this process, the above and below, creates a feedback loop in which reactions from politicians give fuel for more news stories, which further agitate the public opinion.
But you know those very outlets that carry those news stories are shrinking in their viewership. I think they're shooting themselves in the foot.
They're shrinking.
It's not working anymore.
They're shrinking
like it used
because
to.
Of an awakening that's going on in our country at this point. And the awakening is going on because of shows like this and conservative media that are unmasking the fake news and revealing the truth. And more people are starting to find it.
And One America News and outfits like that are helping a lot. Mm.
Right.
Rick, I think that the way that the Mueller investigation was reported, first of all, anyone with any common sense would have looked at this, all the evidence they had of the Steele dossier being funded by the Clinton campaign and all that stuff, concluded in two weeks that there was nothing there.
Right.
And by carrying that out through the 2018 election, I believe that impacted the election.
It did. Most definitely did. And, you know, again, that's another tactic they use is if you tell a lie often enough.
Yes.
And repeat it over and over and over and over again, useful idiots will start begin to believe it's the truth.
We're seeing that with a lot of the Democrat presidential candidates are saying that the election of the Georgia governor that Stacey Abrams lost, that was taken from her, which is a total lie. The margin of victory for the person who won was such that a recall was not called for. She claimed that the votes were suppressed, but voter turnout was larger than it had been before. But the lie is still being spread that she should be the governor of Georgia.
Well, don't tell Nancy Pelosi that she's not, because
Hillary should be president too. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, let me finish this part here. The above and Lost my voice. Oh, this process creates a feedback loop in which reaction from politicians give fuel for more news stories, which further agitate public opinion, to which political groups can again respond. When the process reaches a boiling point with a strong enough public demand, the political factions orchestrating the illusion can use it to justify political intervention through policy. Now, the above and below tactic comes from communist movements. It was described in 1957 by Czech Communist Party theoretician Jan Kozak as a method for small groups to gain power by agitating society from two directions, one faction in government and another on the streets. So if that doesn't sound familiar to you, you really got your head stuck deep into sand.
Well, I think the left can get the reaction that they want is because they've engineered this response, or this ability to have this response, for a long time now. They've dumbed down their constituents. They've dumbed down America. And when you're that dumbed down, you can get the kind of response, the outrage that they, you know, that we've been seeing, because they don't know. They really don't know what's going on. So they're easily, you know, outraged.
Right. Well, it's only
you can manipulate someone that's not too enlightened, too informed.
Well, it's only going to get worse a little further down the road. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain that right after this break.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I have the crew from CCTA, Hal and Rainer James, Diane Rufino, and Bob and Mary Griswold. And we've been talking about tactic being used by mainstream media and corrupt politicians to create a false narrative and get the people upset and in a stitch and make it look like they're demanding certain things to happen. And it's all a show that's put on, and it allows them to implement their evil, nefarious ways. Okay, I told you it's going to get worse.
What?
The deception.
You're so cheerful today, Rick.
Well,
you told us before the ad, but we forgot.
That's right. Well, here's how the deception's going to get worse. There's a thing called Spectre. And if you haven't heard of Spectre, maybe you can look it up online. But artificial intelligence technology has gotten to the point now that they can create video strictly all computer generated. And they can have a person, say, Donald Trump. And they could make him look like and do like anything they would like, all by artificial intelligence, and also have him say anything they want him to say. And Donald Trump is nowhere near the studio or had anything to do with it. They have not perfected it 100% yet. There's still a little problem in getting the voice to match up perfectly. But artificial
voice and the inflection, yeah.
Right.
But it sounds like the things that you watch in, you know, like some monster talking to you when you see a movie and things like that. I mean, so they can not.
Can we get rid of Hollywood actors?
Yeah. Well, yes. That's what.
This is the silver lining.
You've got like a Hollywood actor that's tired of doing it now.
Or we're tired of seeing.
Well, what they will be doing in the future is they will license their image and their voice. And the studios can buy that license it, and create a movie with them as the star in the movie, and they never go participate in it whatsoever. They've just got their image and their voice, and it's all generated by computers through artificial intelligence.
Can they still win Academy Awards?
I don't know.
Should Elvis get back to performing?
Oh, gosh. Now, Rich, what I hear you saying... We are going to have to be even more leery of fake news in the future.
Because it's going to get better in terms of what it's
fooling us.
Yeah.
You can pull up on YouTube or you can turn on the TV or whatever and see a video clip, and it will be entirely generated by a computer and be entirely false and fake. There's even danger of people being sent to prison for something they didn't say or do.
Wow.
So that's a big issue that's being looked at right now, is how are we going to validate that that's actually a legitimate video? Or is it...
This is all shocking news to me. I had no idea anything like that was...
Okay, it was on the Glenn Beck program this morning. And you can probably, if you have access, well, I think it may even be, you can go to theblaze.com and it may be for free on there. But they actually show some of the video clips that are being generated now. There was one example, I can't remember what third world country it was, but they ran a video of Donald Trump and what he was saying. And it almost caused riots in the street. They were yelling for him to mind his own business, to get out of their election. And it was a political party that put it together. But it was so bad that it would take a real idiot not to realize that that wasn't a real video. But still, it caused that kind of problem in that country.
Wow.
So when they perfect it, what's it going to cause? Okay. No matter, you know, technology is a wonderful thing. And the fact that they'll be able to generate movies without having to have the actors there, you know, that may be a wonderful thing. But there's always somebody out there that can find a evil purpose to use it for. And that's what we have to be aware of. I'm sure they're going to come up with some methods and some means. And you'll have to have reliable sources to... that you can go to validate the accuracy or whether it's even a legitimate, true video. But it's like now, a lot of people go to Snopes to find out if things are true. Mm-hmm. And Snopes isn't true.
No one's reputation could ever be safe because anybody can do something like this. And all of a sudden, out there on some fake video, you're saying crazy things about, you could be a racist. You can be saying something that you're going to harm someone with your guns, you know. And the consequences.
Well, I just wanted to throw it out there because, that some of the political, some of the people in them, actually, and it's all parties, have proven they'll go to any lengths or any extreme.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
So if this is technology they can get their hands on, they'll definitely use it for nefarious purposes.
Yeah, a buddy of mine emailed me one time and said, "Do you see these almost pornographic videos of Sarah Palin?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, let me send them to you." He sent them to me, and I looked at them, and I said, "Don't you know these things are obviously photoshopped? I mean, they've taken Sarah Palin's head and put it on somebody else." but he believed it when he first saw it.
Right. Well, that's a good
he
example.
He wanted to believe it.
Yeah. Well, you know, additionally, so many people go to Wikipedia to get good information when Wikipedia is strictly a conglomeration of people's opinions.
Some of their research, I have to admit, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well,
you have to know your topic pretty good, I guess, and corroborate it. But
the fact that anybody can go up there and edit it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And contribute to it.
Mm-hmm. Or remove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be reviewed, but I've done the same thing where I put comments and added stuff to Wikipedia, but yeah.
Well, Wikipedia is useful if you want a date. Or something like that, if you want, what was the date that this happened?
Oh, I thought you meant somebody to go out.
No. I meant a historic event date.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeesh.
All right. Well, that's pretty much the topics I had to bring up tonight. Folks, it is... some strange times we live in now. Our founding fathers, we talk about the Constitution. It's the best document that's ever been written to formulate government. But it's not perfect. And the reason it's not perfect is because our founding fathers could not have foreseen how low people could go in this country. They did not anticipate some of the things that we're living with.
Self-government. For a moral people.
Right.
Are we a moral people anymore?
Mm-hmm. We used to be great because we were good, and now we're hoping to be great, but we can't be great until we're good.
Yep. Absolutely. It all depends on that.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a discussion. I think Michael Speciale was trying to, had gone up and jawboned to kill the bill about the license plate monitoring throughout the state.
Yeah.
Well, just this week, there was a release of a data breach at one of the borders out on the Mexican border or something like that, that somebody has stolen a few hundred thousand license plate images coming across the border from Mexico. So they have when you steal the images, you've got the image of the license plate, the car that it's going with, you've got the date and the time and the position of the crossing and all that stuff. Now, as far as I can understand from what I've heard, this was a contractor that had taken this information. Now, I'm going to, quote, defend the contractor, because the contractor may have wanted this information so he could sample and write the program better, and so that it would be quicker to recognize the license plate number and this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah, blah. But taking that information illegally, it's still illegal, and anybody could take that information from him because he's probably not got it under lock and key and misuse the data.
All right.
I don't know if we want to talk about this upcoming early voting. It starts Wednesday, the 19th.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the third district, the runoff between Dr. Perry and Dr. Murphy. Early voting starts on Wednesday. We'll continue. You have to check the dates. But the actual voting date, election date, is July 9th, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. It is the 9th.
Mm-hmm. July the 9th. And there's been a lot of interest generated in this particular race. Dr. Murphy and Perry, both are doctors. They have had two debates that I know of face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And been a lot of interest. Good, well attended, both
Tim
of them.
Harris. There's several people still in the running.
Right. They were well attended. And
about
so,
six, I think, total.
Yeah. I attended the second one last night in Jacksonville, and there was a lot of similarities. But both debates, they picked on the areas where they do differ. And we all know the main difference is Joan Perry has just, you know, decided to go into politics. She does not come from politics. Dr. Murphy has been in politics, so he has a record. So we have someone without a record versus someone with a record. So both debates picked out where they have their, I don't know, their issues. Mm-hmm. That might be concerned to voters. So I listed this out. If anybody's interested, I put a summary of the two debates. I put it on the CCTA site. I put it on the Eastern North Carolina Tea Party sites, Facebook sites, where it's not a partisan thing at all. It's just factual, right, where I list out the differences, right, what they've addressed in these debates and how they answered them.
And it's good to highlight here, folks, the importance of you getting involved in the process. Don't listen to your neighbor or a family member or a church member or somebody else telling you you need to go vote for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You need to make that determination for yourself based on facts, mm-hmm, based on your own participation in going to the debates or doing the research for yourself. Those, I think both of them were recorded and are online. You can find them if you go and look for them. And make that determination yourself. You know, you can't trust the political ads out there. There's already lawsuits filed because of some of the ads that have shown up. Ads at some third-party group.
Yeah. Winning for Women, out of D.C.
Decided to run. The candidates themselves didn't actually run the ads. But anyway, it's time for you folks to start waking up and getting involved in the process. Let's look at this last midterm election where the U.S. House of Representatives switched hands. Why did it switch? Because enough people didn't get out and vote. Plain and simple. And you add into that voter fraud and election fraud. It's every vote counts. Some of them count two or three times.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure your vote counts, and we want to make sure you make an informed decision based on the information that's out there available to you. All right. Hal?
I want to change the subject. Is that all right?
You're the chairman.
You're the host and producer. Anyway, I want to tell our listeners one thing that I think is really, really important. We had a disagreement with the Craven County Board of Commissioners about the new rules they put in earlier this year and who could be speak on what subjects and things like that. It had a lot more detail. They reduced the time for just a general petition from 4 minutes down to 3 minutes, but then they divided them up into general petitions and petitions that pertain to the agendas and public hearing petitions. But our main complaint about it is this. Speakers must be courteous in their language and presentation and must abide by generally standard accepted of decorum. Speakers shall not make the same or repetitive comments, whether during a particular comment period or over the course of multiple comment periods. Speakers shall not attack or insult any person or group of people, and speakers shall not give belligerent or hostile comments during any comment period. Well, it seems to me that that's really very restrictive for our First Amendment rights of free speech.
All right.
And CCTA has engaged in a lawyer. And a lawyer has taken the case and will be representing us. And I don't want to say much more about it because I had a short 15-minute consultation with him where he got the general outline of what had happened and agreed to take the case. And we're to meet again in a couple of weeks or so. and with all the details and the information that I'm gathering to present to him. So I just wanted everybody to know that that's in the works and it hasn't been dropped. It's been quite a while. This happened on March the 18th this year, and here it is June, so I guess it's not so awfully long ago, but I had gotten advice from several people that with knowledge of the law who said they thought we had a viable case, and then got introduced to a man who's willing to take our case, and we're going to go ahead with it.
Well, you got that because you are on the watchdog committee, actually chair of the watchdog committee, and you attend these meetings to keep an eye on what's going on and report back to us, and we're thankful for that. And it definitely is a violation of your First Amendment rights because it hampers your ability to redress your grievances.
Part of it was how they've interpreted some of that general language.
Right.
And another thing about repetition, I mean, the Board of Commissioners themselves could not be more repetitious. I mean, they repeat,
right.
Repeat.
Well, it's okay for them to do it, but not for you. Well, we've got to get another break in here, so please listen to these ads from our sponsors and go out and support them.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. And Rainer, it was mentioned, Hal mentioned about something that was going on with Grassroots North Carolina and the Second Amendment. Can you bring us up to date on that?
Sure. We got an email from Grassroots North Carolina today urging people to call Republican members of the North Carolina House in support of House Bill 216, the School Self-Defense Act. You can find that on the General Assembly website.
Right.
It is a page and a half. It's very short, very clear cut. What it would do would allow members of staff, part-time or full-time, to carry if certain things are true, if they have a concealed license, if they take 16-hour course in active shooter schooling taught by the North Carolina's Criminal Justice Education and Training Standards Commission.
Right.
And if they volunteer, it's only for people who want to do it. And if the school district they're in says they want to do this program, the school districts can opt out.
So short and sweet, what it's designed to do is to put a good guy with a gun in front of the bad guy with a gun with instantaneous response time rather than waiting for authorities to get there. And
their annual reviews to make sure they're keeping up with their licensing and their proficiency and so on. Yes, it's exactly that. So it would actually protect children in situations where heretofore they're mowed down. There are schools that are doing that. There are 25 states that allow schools or districts to give permission for carrying. And there was an interesting statement in that schools that have actually elected to do this, there have been zero instances right. of school shooters, while it's gone up in other schools.
Right.
So the empirical evidence is it works.
Right. And I'd make one modification to that. Don't just call Republican representatives, call all representatives. No matter what.
Well, I think from the way they wrote it, Grassroots North Carolina has made the assumption that calling anyone other than a Republican would be a waste of your time.
Well, always.
No, I think in the past Democrats have been pretty good with.
Well, maybe they're wrong.
I think they've been pretty good.
Okay, well, that's about all the time we got. I do want to make you. I want to inform you about our public meeting, which will be Tuesday night, the 18th of June. Our guest speaker will be Lynn Taylor. She's also known as Common Core Diva. She's going to give us a status of education, what's going on in education.
And don't let that nickname fool you, because she's not in favor of Common Core.
No. she has battled hard and heavy and been persistent at that.
And the superintendent of public instruction, Mark Johnson, has recently said that he was going to try to get the General Assembly to give more power back to the local school boards as to whether or not Common Core math is taught in those schools.
All right. So the fight is not over. The battle has not been won, but there's been progress and more coming down the road. Well, join us. It's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. And we look forward to seeing you there. That's all the time we have for today's CCTA Wake Up Call. Please join us again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com. Or email Hal at cctaxpayers.com. That's Hal, H-A-L, at cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show, but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact Hal at cctaxpayers.com.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. Jay Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.